The book of Proverbs, the second chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 1, second chapter, Proverbs. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, the precious Word of God. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the scriptures we've read tonight. And Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for the promises that are therein. And Lord, once again tonight, we need your help. This preacher needs you. You know the need of my life, Father, and I ask you for it. I ask you to meet those needs. And once again tonight, I ask you to meet the needs of this congregation tonight through the preaching of the Word of God. Be able to take your Word and use it and deal with hearts and help those, Lord, that need special help tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 2, and of course, that we read to you, the first 10 verses that we read to you is some wonderful scriptures concerning wisdom. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. I'm sure you're familiar with that. You read the book of Proverbs over and over and over. God talks about wisdom. And we basically, in fact, you know, we've been talking about the last 2 weeks on Sunday nights. We've been discussing some home issues. And I want to continue that tonight and family issues tonight. And I can't think of anything else that you need more than wisdom, God's wisdom, in raising families and training your children and doing all those things that need to be done and making a marriage sweet and good. Wisdom is the basic thing you need, God's wisdom. And you follow God's wisdom and it will work. It will do what's needed to be done. I'm not sure tonight that maybe the message that I'm going to preach, I call it firm and consistent. And basically, we're going to deal with two things, being firm and being consistent. I'm not real sure, but what maybe grandparents don't need it as much as the parents tonight. We grandparents, we probably need this message also in being firm with our grandchildren. I'm preaching to you folk now. I'm not preaching to me tonight. Now I'm preaching to all of us. But firm and consistent is two words that we're going to deal with tonight, and hopefully it'll be a help and a blessing. Just listen and take those things and glean some things from the Word of God that will help you. Man came up after we preached last week on Sunday night, and he said, you know, there were some things there that I was reminded of that helped me so much that I hadn't thought about for a while. And that's what basically, you know, preaching does. Most of the time, it's not something you've never heard before. Most of the time, it's something you've been encouraged about and helped and reminded of some things. And basically, that's what I'm going to do tonight is remind you of some things. I think most everybody here know tonight of the massive family breakdown that's going on in America. I think if you have a little bit of understanding and you look around, you understand that there is absolutely terrible breakdowns in family life in America. Those breakdowns, of course, are between husbands and wives. Those breakdowns are between parents and children. All kinds of just breakdown in the family that is not necessarily have to be there. God has an answer. And the Bible has an answer. And I just you know, worry about my people here. I'm concerned about folks in Jacksonville all around, but I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about the people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We want you to have good, strong family ties. I want you to have united husband and wives, united as one, working together to raise a family for God. And that's my desire as a pastor. I want that for you. You know, people live under the same roof, and yet there is conflict many times. As I stand up here as pastor, and I'm not saying there's anyone in here that's having conflict in their families. I don't know that. But I'm simply saying to you, I'm talking about terrible conflict that is getting very serious in your life. I don't know that. Most time, we don't know that until it's too late. I want to say this to you. This pastor is available. I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing to you. And after 43 years of marriage, I think I do know a few things about a husband and wife relationship and also raising of children. I know the areas where I had failed in, and I also know the areas where I've succeeded in. And I can help you in areas, and hopefully you'll let me do that if you need my help. But children today, many children today are growing up to resent and sometimes even hate their parents. And what I'm saying to you, that's unnecessary. Let me say to you, it's wrong. There's no reason to ever do that. It's not right to do that, but sometimes it is happening where children just grow resentful of their parents and come to the place where they even hate their parents. No, that's not right to do, but there's also sometimes parents can help promote this and cause some of this to happen in their life. And again, I stress, because it's not right. Young people, it's never right to show disrespect to your parents. Make a difference what they have done. It's never right in God's eyes for you to show disrespect to your parents. That is never right, and it never will be right. Amen. Never will be right in God's eyes. But parents, I know many times, become disappointed. They get frustrated, and they get heartbroken sometimes over the actions of their children. Sometimes they simply say, I just don't know what to do. I've had many, many people come to me at times over the years and say, you know, I just don't know what to do anymore. And they many times will make this statement, I have done everything that I know to do. And let me make a statement there. I believe at the time they say that, they mean that, but they haven't considered the Bible, the Word of God, because many times there's things they have not done that should have been done. And they have not done everything that they should have done. Amen? Because the Bible has the answer for rearing children. God has the answer. And many times we want to look back and we say, well, I've just done everything I could do. Well, that's not just always truth. Many, many times we're not doing the best we can because we're not following the Bible, the Word of God, that God gives us instructions on how to rear children. I believe that parents are basically just fooling themselves when they neglect to take the Word of God and take the principles of rearing children out of the Word of God and put it into practice in your life. You're kidding yourself. You're wanting a product to be produced when you're not willing to use the right formula for producing it. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this statement or not, but I think it's Einstein that made the statement. I'm not uplifting Einstein, but what he said was a good statement. He said the greatest example of insanity is when people do the same things they've always done and expect different results. That's true. And multitudes and multitudes, people will just continue in the way they're going, continue to raise their children in the way they're raising their children and expect it to turn out right when you're doing the same old things you've always done and it hasn't worked. You got to get back to the Bible, God's Word. That's where the answer to rearing children is, for you, for me, for anyone. That's where the answer is. And I said to you, and I think I mentioned this last week, start young with them. The problems that's going on in families today, multitudes of problems are going on, and I would ask the question tonight, those that are having so terrible problems, where are they tonight? Most do not want the answer. Most do not want God's answer to their problems. And so they stay away. They won't come. They just think by chance that maybe things are just going to get better. They're not going to get better as long as we do it contrary to the Bible, the Word of God. And so God has an answer for these things. Now, wisdom, let me say to you, according to the Bible, wisdom will be given to those who seek it. God doesn't say, okay, you don't want wisdom, so here, I'm just going to give you some anyway. It doesn't work that way. We are to ask of God if we want wisdom. We're to go to Him and we're to ask wisdom of God Almighty. And parents, let me say something to you, as well as grandparents, as well as children. There is one thing you need, and that's the wisdom of God. You need that every single day of your life. You have so many decisions that you have to make. You have so many little things that come up in family life practically every day. And above all, you need God's wisdom to help you to make the proper decision. It's not just going to turn out by chance. You've got to ask the wisdom of God and seek His wisdom. And the Bible says He'll give it to us. Amen? So we need God's wisdom. And I want to just take a time to, just a moment to impress that upon your hearts. You and I need to seek God's wisdom. We need to search for God's wisdom. Amen? I mean, you need to do that. Don't just think it's just going to all at once come to you. We ask God for it. We seek God for it. And God has promised to give it to us. And so you and I need that wisdom. If I can encourage parents, and in fact, I encourage every Christian that's present to here tonight, one of the great things you could do for your life and your family's life of every morning, get up and say, God, give me your wisdom today. And now don't go about then doing your own thing. Listen to Him. Let Him speak to you throughout the day. Just don't come up with your own answers. Let God speak to you and give you the wisdom you need in the rearing of your children and the decisions that need to be made throughout your life, every day of your life. You need God's wisdom, and I need God's wisdom. Amen? So I want to encourage you to do that. You know, many multitudes of families are filled with trouble, yet they will not search for God's help. I see this all the time. I'm sure you see it. But they've got problems. They've got troubles. I've told you stories and stories about people who's called me for help. And I've agreed to set up meetings and all of this. And sometimes they'll meet with me one time and go on out and not ever come back as far as coming to helping from the Scriptures. They don't want to do what God says. You're not going to get help that way. You got to do it the way God says in His Word. God's wisdom is what you need, and I need that too. And everyone in here tonight needs the wisdom of God for everything that you do in life. We need that. So there's two things that I basically want to look at tonight. And the first one is, and let me say to you, the way that you take the Scriptures and the way you deal with the Scriptures, if you have young children, is going to determine what kind of child that child's going to be when they get older. See, right now, I mean, I know I've been there. You think as a child, as a young child, you think, well, you know, they're going to turn out all right. You know, everything's going to be all right. But folks, they grow. They become teenagers. They do. And then they go beyond that. And what we do at a young age is going to determine much what they do when they grow up. Understand? Boy, get a hold of that, because right now you're not too worried about, well, I'm going to just teach them this and that, and if they get by with this or get by with that, it ain't going to hurt anything. It will too hurt something, because you're developing patterns in their life. And so now is the time to take a hold of those things and to do them correctly when they're young, where you can put into them and bend that tree or straighten, keep that tree straight the way it's supposed to be. Because once it's bent, it's going to continue to grow that way. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, you need the wisdom of God. Parents, you need God's wisdom. Amen. In the rearing of your children. The first thing that we want to look at tonight is to be firm. I want to show you, first of all, what the dictionary says firm means. Not yielding easily under pressure. Solid, hard. Not moved or shaking easily. Fixed. Not fluctuating. Steady as a firm prize. Now, you ladies all know, you go to yard sales and someone will, you'll ask them about coming down on a sale and on an item, and they'll say, no, price is firm. Now, you know what that means? That means it's firm. They're not going to change. That's what they're going to take for it. And that's what the word firm speaks of. No, firm on the price, you see. Constant, showing determination, final, definite, as a firm contract. Now, I believe with all of my heart that one of the needs of young people today growing up needs a firm hand. Now, we'll talk about this. They also need a kind, gracious hand, but they need a firm hand. They need a firm hand that will not yield when they should not yield. That says, we're not going any further. This is it. And young people need that. And the only ones can really do that in their life is moms and dads. Amen. You see, God deals with us like that. Let me say to you, when God puts something in His Word and puts a principle or precept in His Word, He means it. Now, you think He's going to come along and negotiate with us? And say, well, you know, if you see it this way, well, then maybe I could change my view of this. And you don't find God doing that. And God's not going to do that. Thank God He doesn't do that with us. Thank God He doesn't. So I'm saying we need. In fact, in Hebrews, He says He is faithful that promised. God promises something. He's faithful at it. Amen. He also says in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Aren't you glad God promised eternal life and that He didn't go back on it? Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Certainly you are. You're grateful for that on eternal life, but there's things in our children's life and the rearing of our children that we need to be firm on and not go back on it. We need to be firm. You see, when parents make empty threats or promises that they do not keep, they're lying to their children. They're lying to their children. When you threaten your children and don't carry it through, first of all, I don't believe in threatening. I just believe in making promises. It's much better than threatening. But let me say to you, if you do threaten or you do make a promise to your children and you do not keep it, there's some real serious problems there. See, because they begin to lose the trust that they had in you. And that's very, very serious. In James, the first chapter, he says, in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God just keeps it right down the line. Now, I know God's grace. I know God's mercy. I know all these things, but that's in areas where He can. What I'm saying to you, be sure you know what you're talking about when you make a rule or make a determination in your family's life. Know for sure that it's the right and proper thing to do, and then don't deviate from it. Just keep it right down the line. Keep it firm. Keep it going. In Romans, the fourth chapter, what He has promised, He will also perform. That's what the Bible says. In Isaiah 46, He said, yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Now, if you want to know how to deal with your children, look how God deals with His. When you make a promise, when you've said this, when you've made a determination, then stick with it. Make sure it's a godly determination. Make sure it's a right and proper promise. But then do it and stick with it, because what you're doing is, if you don't, you're causing your children to begin to wonder where they stand and to think for sure that they can get out of something if they'll just wait long enough. You're going to change your mind anyway. So I'm saying be firm. God also tells us to be honest. The Bible says in Romans the 12th chapter, provide things honest in the sight of men. Now God tells us, me and you ought to be honest. Amen? That's a principle in the Bible. We ought to be honest folk. I think you agree with that. We're supposed to be honest. You should not only be honest with those around you, with men, you ought to be honest with your children. The Bible says also in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, provide for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. I believe with all of my heart, honesty is one of the great needs of today. I believe a Christian should be honest. Amen. I'm just going to tell you this story. I don't think Brother Stato mind me telling, but he fixed my lawnmower for me. And done a wonderful job, let me say. Fixed it, that thing just purring along and just doing a good job. And I mowed my yard two or three times with it, and I thank him for that. But the price of it was a certain amount of dollars. David went over and picked it up for me. He paid him that. He didn't have any change, but it was 26 cents. Something in 26 cents. Next time I saw him, I handed him 26 cents. And he said, I was really worried about that. He said, I lost sleep over that. We were just kidding about it, but I said, no, you deserve the 26 cents. It's yours. You got to be honest. I know he wouldn't have cared if I'd never given him that 26 cents, but I would have. And God would have. We're to be honest. And honesty is something that we've got to learn, that in Christianity, we have got to learn to be honest. And if something happens, it shows up somewhere that we've goofed, we made a mistake, then we ought to apologize for that dishonesty and get it correct. Do it right. Well, what I'm saying is, your children see your actions with other people. Are you an honest person? Are you setting forth honest practices? Well, let me guarantee you for one thing, your children is seeing it if you don't, and they're seeing it also if you do. Amen? And that becomes a great blessing upon their life, because they can look back and they may have things that they don't know about mom and dad. They think mom and dad ought to have done this or that differently in their life, and that's all going to always be. But they can also look back and say, but my mom and dad were honest folk. That's important. That's important. You need to be honest, you see. Honesty is very, very important. It means doing what we say we will do to the very best of our ability. Amen. So again, I'm saying be honest with your children. And when parents become dishonest and children see that dishonesty, it's going to carry over in their life. Just be honest with them. Folks, listen, if you've goofed, if you've made a mistake, if you said I made a rule that I should have not made, be honest with them. They're going to love you for it. Just be honest with them. Don't be afraid to say, I goofed. I made a mistake, because you're parents and you're human and you will. Yes, you will. And you know what? It's okay if you make a mistake, but it's okay also if you tell your children, I made a mistake. You know what that's teaching them? That's teaching them also down the road. It's not bad for them to say, I made a mistake. I had a person tell me one day, and that person still has got a life that is a terrible life. She told me this to my face, I have never told anyone I'm sorry. And she said, I never intend to. That's what she said. And her life is a mess. Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm sorry. Why not? That's pride. Absolutely pride in your life. And what I'm saying is, your children need to see the example of honesty. Be honest with them. Amen? Then the lack of firmness. What happens when the lack of firmness and the lack of honesty is present? Things begin to deteriorate in their lives. And what happens is they begin to lose respect. Now, they may not tell you that. They may not say that. I'm not saying it's right for them not to have respect for their parents. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying when they see things that's dishonest in your life, and they see things where you said this is the way it's going to be and you don't do it, I'll guarantee you respect begins to be lost. And it's going to be difficult to gain it back. Bitterness, in fact, begins a lot of times toward the parent crop up in their heart. Now, you young people, you're sitting there and you say, well, that's what's the matter with me. No, no, no. If you got bitterness in your heart, get rid of it. Don't use that as an excuse. If you got bitterness in your heart, you get it right. Because you need not that bitterness. That's wrong for you to have any bitterness. But a lot of times that's what happens. And then there's no communication a lot of times between the parent and the child. Because the respect is lost. And what I'm saying to you is, listen to me, young people, listen to me. Talk to your parents. It doesn't make a difference if you don't think they want to listen. Talk to them. Please talk to them. They need to hear you. And parents, take time to listen to them. No, not be talking all the time. Moms and dads, don't be just hollering at them all the time. Let them talk. Let them tell you. I'm not talking about getting after you. I'm saying let them tell you how they feel and what the problem in their life is. Listen to them. Amen? Because you need that communication. You need that communication between that child and that parent, and they ought to be there, you see. It ought to be there. What happens usually after that then becomes a open rebellion. A child wants to establish his own authority in his life, and whether he is old enough to do that or not, to some degree he begins to establish that he is the authority of his life, and he's going to do what he wants to do. He may have to do some things because he's told, but he's going to be the authority in his life, and he's going to do exactly what he wants to do. Now, folks, listen. When that begins to build in that child's life, I'll guarantee you something, that's going to continue to build and continue to build, and he's going to treat God the very same way. You see, what we're training our children now is not just for the benefit of the parents. It's for the benefit of God Almighty and their relationship with God Almighty. When they resent you and when they rebel against you, they're going to do God the very same way. Somewhere along in their life, they're going to start rebelling against God Almighty. And I shared with you last week, and I believe this with all my heart. Daddies, boy, I'm going to tell you, we're responsible. God gave us the leadership of the family. And we daddies, you say, yeah, but my wife won't let me lead. I've heard that before. Really? I was out in Maryland that time. We was at a revival meeting. There was a lady, excuse me, a man came up to me afterwards and was talking about tithing. And he said, my wife won't let me tithe. I ain't going to do it here, but I jumped. I mean, I jumped back, you know, and I hollered real loud. I turned to everybody. I said, you wimp. You mean your wife won't let you tithe? Shame on you. He started looking around. Well, he said, now, Brother Ross, he said, she don't want us to tithe. I said, who cares what she wants? I'm not being mean when I say that, folks. I'm not being mean. But a man ought to take the leadership, and he ought to say, we're going to tithe. We're going to go to church regularly. We're going to be faithful. We're going to do right. Whatever it is, we're going to do it. Amen? See, because why? Because God put you and I as the leadership in our family. I'm not saying we ought to be mean. I'm not saying we ought to be like old dictators. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we ought to lead our family. And when the family, and when the Word of God says something, that's what we ought to do. Because God said it. Amen? And we ought to lead our family in the ways of the Lord and do what's right. See, so what happens is a young person begins to set himself up as the authority in his life. And he's going to do whatever he wants to do. And it won't be long. And I want you to listen to this. I want you to hear me out. Okay? Brother Holloway came and preached to us a wonderful message. Tremendous message. And he said this. He told the stories about when the children in his church was growing up. And they'd get into problems or troubles. And the parents would run to him and say, what do I do? What do I do? And he'd say, I'd give him advice and tell him biblically what they should do. And he said, they just thought I was the most wonderful person. Until they got teenagers. And no longer did I know what I was talking about. Because the teenagers would be getting into things and they'd come and say to me, what should I do? And they didn't want to hear it anymore. Let me say to you, that is true in this church also. See, when they get teenagers, it's all at once different. The pastor don't know anything anymore. I raise four. You need the same advice when your children are teenagers than you did when they was 10. But all at once, the pastor doesn't know anything anymore. But let me say to you, folks, that's just not true. You need to get into the biblical truths in the Bible and raise your children and raise your teenagers according to the Bible. Because here's what happens, and I hear this all the time. I hear it in our school. We don't allow it. We don't put up with it. But I hear it in our school. Pretty soon, someone's coming in and condemning somebody else in the church and saying, yeah, but look at so-and-so. They do this and they do that, and the parents allow them to talk like that at home. And pretty soon they'll be condemning everybody in the church. They'll be looking around and finding every little hypocrite that they think they can find in the church and pointing out a reason why they're the way they are. Don't work. They're the way they are because they're not right with God. They're away from the Lord. Their relationship with God has went away. And they need to get back close to the Lord. Not their relationship, I said, but their fellowship, let me say, with God needs to be renewed. Again, I've seen it over and over and over, and then they get into deep sin, and then they turn around and they want to blame everybody else why those kids are in deep sin. No way. No way. Boy, take it right here. My wife and I both went to our knees before in prayer and asked God to forgive us in areas that we failed in our children's lives. We didn't go saying, well, if so-and-so or teacher had helped us or some other preacher had preached this to us or that. We went on our knees and begged God to forgive us in areas that we didn't have enough sense to know what we should have done when we was growing in the Lord, and we failed and we didn't put it on anybody else. We got on our knees and asked God to forgive us. And I believe that's the way it's supposed to be done. I really get sick and tired of everybody blaming everybody else. No, it falls right here. Right here. There's weak areas in my children's lives that I didn't get taught to them. It falls right here. Right here. I'll take that responsibility. I'm not proud of it. I'll take it. But you know what you do after that? You pray and you ask God for the grace of God to help your children to be what they ought to be for the Lord. You admit your sin. You tell God that you've sinned. You've done wrong. And you ask God to forgive you, and He's promised to forgive you. And He can restore what the canker worm eat. Amen? But He's not going to do it if we're still blaming everybody else. Blame it right here. Boy, just put it right there on our shoulders, you see. And I'm saying that from experience. I have done that. My wife has done that. And I meant it when I did it. So what happens then? The parents are shocked. They're frustrated. They don't understand what has happened. They see their children going out and doing things they should not do. And all at once they say, where did I fail? And all of this, what I'm simply saying is, don't let it get started. Do it right from the beginning. That's why the preacher's up here trying to teach you. Trying to tell you what's right and proper to do. Be firm in your commitment to discipline of your children. Permissiveness simply says some things. When you're permissive with your children, it says to that child, I can do my own thing. I can do whatever I choose to do. And you know what else it says? There is no absolute truth. In other words, permissiveness, I can do anything, and the Bible is just something that I don't have to listen to. That's exactly what we're saying when we just let them do whatever they want to do. No, the Bible's not true. You can just go out and do whatever you want. What needs to be in families, folks, there needs to be established in every family convictions that are based upon the Bible, the Word of God. And they say to that family, this is the way we do it because God says to do it that way. And that's the way we're going to do it. There's no question asked. Shouldn't be a question whether your children is in, you and your children are in church when the house of God is open. That was something we settled within 2 weeks after we got saved. I said to my wife, I set my family down. I don't know whether Jerry and him remembered. He was pretty young. Probably doesn't because he was pretty young. But I simply said to him, don't ever ask me, are we going to church? Don't ever ask me. We are going to Sunday morning Sunday school. We're going to be taught. We need to be taught. We're going to Sunday morning services, preaching service. We're going to Sunday night services. We're going to Wednesday night services. And anything else the church has going on, we're going to be there. Did we not do that? I said, don't ever ask the question, are we going to church? Not in this household. Shouldn't be a question. Should never be asked. You just go. and the other principles and that are found in the Word of God. You just do it because it's correct to do it, because God has said it, and we believe it, and it doesn't make any difference whether we believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. Amen. Now what happens a lot of times is this permissiveness gets started because of a lack of firmness and honesty in the rearing of your children. You're afraid you're going to lose them. You say, well, I got to lighten up here. I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. Folks, that's what Satan wants you to do. You need to realize that you've got to do it God's way. And folks, let God take care of them. That's their problem when they do that. You do it God's way. Don't be afraid that you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them if you don't do it right, scripturally. And then what happens is, they simply say, well, no one has a right to tell me what to do. When they learn permissiveness, they begin to build that in their life, and they think no one has a right to tell them. If you don't believe that, ask some of these men that has young people work for them, or other, not just young people, people work for them. We're living in a day when they don't think they have to work. They don't think they have to give an 8-hour day for an 8-hour pay. But my friend, a boss does have a right to tell you what to do. Absolutely. And you are to work 8 hours for 8 hours pay. If they give you a break, fine. If they give you off for lunch hour, fine. Be working the rest of the time. Amen? Just work. I've seen young people come to our work parties, spend their time out in the basketball court instead of coming in here working and helping them in. Terrible. I'm telling you, it's terrible. They need to be out there working. Learn how to work. Good for them. It's good for you. It's good for me. But what happens is they don't have to. No one makes them. No one says, get yourself out there and you work. Do what you're supposed to do. So what happens then, this produces selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate brats. Thought that'd be a good word. Because basically, that's what they become. Just brats. You see, I'm not saying to be unfair to them. I'm not saying to be cruel to them. I'm not saying to be so harsh with them. What I am saying, to be tender, compassionate, show justice and mercy, but be firm. And the two can go together. Amen. Another thing is this. Keep your promises and throw out double standards. Throw out the double standards. I told you last week, if you've got a rule that you've established in your home and you don't make them keep it, either make them keep it or get rid of it. You're just establishing double standards in your life, and they'll grow up with that. You see, you watch it. The young people that grow up with something about them are people who's been made to work. They've been made to be honest. They've been not allowed in permissiveness. And when they get older, that begins to show in their life. And I'm saying to you, these teenagers are going to become young men and young ladies. And you no longer will have any control over them. So do it right while you can. Real quickly, be firm and be consistent. God says in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. It's very, very important that we be consistent. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. It's very important that we be consistent in our discipline and in our rearing of our children. You see, what happens is they become confused when there's inconsistency. When you tell them something is wrong today and allow them to do it tomorrow, that's inconsistency, and they get confused. They don't understand that. What they understand is, if I just wait, I'll be able to do that tomorrow, the very thing you told me was bad today. If they see you doing that which you tell them is bad, and they see you doing that, that's inconsistency. They're not going to believe you. They need an example.
They need an example to follow. They need someone to look up to. Amen? Be consistent in your dealing with your children. You've heard the story. I'm sure I've told it, and I'm sure you've probably heard it, about the one night that the father is on a snowy night, and he went out in the evening after dark, and he was going over to a tavern to get him a drink, as he'd done many, many times, and he was making steps in the snow, and he heard something from behind him, and he looked around, and here was his little son going like this and trying to step in the same places that his daddy was stepping in. His daddy had already made prints. Well, I just want to tell you, there isn't any snow, but there's prints out there being made by every one of us. And our little children are trying to put their feet in them. Amen? See, what I'm saying is, our young people need examples to follow. Godly examples to follow. If church and the things of God are important to you, it'll be important to your children. Important to your children. Let me say this too. Your child won't hate you for honest, fair discipline. You say, well, they always like it. No, I didn't say they'd always like it, but let me tell you what they'll do. They'll grow up like I did and look back and say, thank you, Daddy, for putting the hammer on me when I needed it. Now, you think I liked it when I had it? You think I rejoiced and said, oh boy, Daddy's really doing it to me. He's helping me. I'm afraid I didn't. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. But I want to tell you, I've told you before, the times that Daddy spanked me, I can still a little bit feel him. My daddy was a man who, when he spanked you, he believed he ought to spank you and you ought to feel it. He believed wrongdoing ought to be paid for. And it helped this preacher. It helped me in life. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you folks, as he matures, even though you've trained him right and you've put the discipline there that ought to be there, be fair in your discipline. I'm not saying to be mean and unkind. I'm saying be fair in it. But when you've done right and gave the right kind of discipline, when they mature and grow up, they'll look back and call you blessed. And this old preacher right now says, my daddy and my mama, we're blessed people. Thank God for them. They helped me in life. They done something for me. And there's not one thing in my life I look back on. My wife and I have talked about this. I never, never, ever look back on the life with mom and dad and ever look at anything and criticize it. Never do. You say, were they perfect? No. All I try to remember is those wonderful things they did for me. Now, was they perfect? Walter and Lena Ross weren't perfect. But I want to tell you right now, I look back, I don't even remember. I don't even let my mind go on anything that they did that I thought was bad. I think about all the good things that my mom and dad done for me. And I truly am thankful. And if you'll raise your children right, your children also will look back and say thank you. They may not do it right now, but they will look back and they'll say thank you. The Bible says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Folks, do it for the future. These little young people's growing up and going to be mature one of these days. And discipline now. Be firm and consistent now for their future. Because you are determining, basically, we determine what they're going to be like when they get older. Amen? Firm and consistent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I certainly do pray for parents, for Lord, as they rear their children. We know the things that they face, and Lord, we know the difficulties it is to train their children in the ways of the Lord. But Father, you've said that's the way we should do it. You've promised to help us, and I certainly pray for every parent in here, every grandparent, as we help and be a blessing in this. And I pray for every young person, Lord, to yield to the rearing
them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Lord, help them to understand their parents are put there by God, and God has given them responsibility to help them to become what He wants them to become. And I pray for them. Ask your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.